Welcome to Gateway's podcast. We hope God speaks to you through this message from Pastor Don Brock. For more information about Gateway, please visit www.gatewaybc.com.
I look forward to our Christmas Eve service tomorrow night, and I hope you plan on being a part of that. And I just want to reiterate again about the love offering we take up at Christmas Eve. 100% of that money goes outside the church, and it goes to three of the organizations in our community that we support ongoingly, on an ongoing fashion, but it's the three ministries that deal directly with the homeless and those that are in crisis issues, and so we support those ministries as they deal directly with people that need help in our community. So I just encourage you to be generous, knowing that that gift, that offering, helps those individuals in a very specific way. And we'll be take that up every Christmas Eve. So be sure you'll be a part of that. And I'm excited about that time together. You know, God blesses us. God's blessed me with a great wife. And whenever I say "but," then that means something's about to follow that, and her ears perk up in the back. I think one of the gifts that the wife has is the gift to keep her husband humble. And Mary has learned to sense that without me even saying anything. And can I get an amen from that? You know what I'm talking about? I mean, it's just like they sense it, that my husband needs to be humbled. And yesterday I was sitting there, and I did not even say anything, but I was just looking at Instagram, and I was noticing, oh, man, I got 663 people following me on Instagram. That is so cool. And then, like, on cue, Mary said, "Hey, you know Max got over 65,000 people following him on Instagram?" How did she know to say that in that moment? That's scary. And I've got to figure out where that switch is so I can turn it off. But, that's what God does in relationships. It can be a close friend. It can be that special relationship that you just connect with people. And you always, it's like you sense that you know when something needs to be said, either as an encouragement or a reality check, whatever that is. And I hope that you will find those kind of relationships in our church, because as a body of believers, we need to be around people that we just trust, that they're going to say truth to us, but they're going to do it in love. I would rather hear hard truth from someone who loves me than from someone who doesn't seem to give a rip about me. And so I'm thankful for that. And that's one of the purposes of our life groups, is that you have people that you do life with, you learn from, you're encouraging to each other, you're there for each other when needed. In our life group, we've got a couple, the Liggetts, and they're getting ready to go through something that was not planned, wasn't on the radar screen, and didn't see it coming. Joe has a career here, but he's also in the Army Reserve. And for the first time in his career, he's being deployed, and he's being deployed for an entire year. So that's a major, major event. And I'll be honest with you, because I want you to really pray for him. Where he's going and what he's going to be doing is very, very dangerous. And so I'm saying that to you so that you will pray for Joe. In fact, I want to start this part of the service. I'm going to ask Joe and Elena to come up here and join me on stage. We're going to pray for them. And so you guys come on up. And we're just going to pray for them as a church family. Thank you so much. I love this couple. We were just shocked when Joe told us, because he was shocked. It totally came out of the blue and totally in fact, it fits in what I'm going to talk about today, when God changes our plans, because this was not in his plans. And sometimes God messes up your plans big time. And so this is a big time mess up plan, right? I mean, his life has been disrupted for an entire year. And so I want to give you today one single key thought. We're going to get to it in just a moment. But I want you to walk away today with this one key thought. Now, I know some of you, you're planners. And you just really plan things well. I mean, you finished your shopping for Christmas last July. You know, right? You know what I'm talking about. You see a sale. I mean, you're Christmas shopping all year long. You see a sale, you get it. My mom would do that because she would see something. Oh, that'd be great. I would love that at Christmas. And the only problem is she could never remember where she put it. And so at Christmas, when we would have Christmas at her house, and the kids and grandkids were all there, you know, she would be gone for a little bit, and she was back in her bedroom just kind of looking for stuff, and she came out. One time, I remember she came out with a present. She said, "Hey, Don, here's your Christmas present from 4 years ago." And I finally found it. And I think it was a G.I. Joe doll. I don't know. And I said, "Man, I don't play with those anymore." But some of you, you're not that person. You're going to start your Christmas shopping this afternoon. Let me just tell you, you deserve to be in that traffic. You deserve to be frustrated. You deserve to get frustrated in those long lines. It's on you. I do not feel sorry for you. I got mine done last night. Thank you very much. But I want to tell you, I got a feeling there are a lot of you who are dealing with things that just were not in your plans. Some of you, you didn't plan on job hunting at this stage of your life. Some of you, you did not plan on going through a separation. That was not on your radar screen. Some of you, you did not plan on dealing with any medical issues. Just before the first service began, I made a phone call to Charlotte, a couple who were very dear and close to Mary and myself. The husband had called me a couple of weeks ago and said, "Hey, I'm getting ready to go into surgery, and I'm not sure what they're going to find." And he had his surgery a few days ago, and it turned out not to be good. But this morning, he just suddenly passed away. Just was not expecting that. So I called his wife this morning, and now we're planning his service for later in the week. And I want to tell you that medical issue was not on their radar screen. It was not planned. They didn't plan on this. And she certainly wasn't planning on 65 years of marriage. And they were both very healthy. So some of you are going to have an empty chair this year at the dinner table, and you weren't planning on that. Maybe somebody has abandoned the family, or somebody has passed away. You just were not planning on that. Some of you, you didn't plan on saying some of the stuff you said recently. Maybe you said something really harsh or really mean, and you didn't plan on saying it, but it came out in a fit of anger or a fit of emotions, and you didn't plan on saying what you said, but you said it. As some of you, you did what you weren't planning on doing. You did something, you didn't plan on it. You would have never thought you would do something like that, but you did it. And in all of these messed up plans, you ask yourself sometimes, well, where is God in all of this? Well, where is God in that empty chair we now have in our home? You see, sometimes God will change our plans and it rattles our faith. When that unplanned event happens, or when we have things so planned out and it just runs into a brick wall and it just kind of shatters our lives, and it rattles us. It rattles our faith. And it's kind of like, God, where are you in this? God, I don't understand this. And when we look at the story of the birth of Jesus, we see some of that. Now, last week we looked at Luke chapter 1. Today I want us to look at Matthew chapter 1. And we're going to look at the same story as last week about Jesus' birth, but we're going to look at a different angle because there's so much that the scripture does not tell us, but there's some things that we can assume. And there's some assumptions that we can make because we understand human emotions. So imagine Mary's this teenage girl, and we don't know how she met Joseph. You know, maybe she called him Joey, I don't know. And maybe he was the summer youth worker at her church. And here's this young teenager, and here's this good-looking guy that comes into her life, and she kind of sets her eyes on him. But, you know, they would go for an evening camel ride, and they fell in love. They fell in love, and eventually he popped the question, and they were engaged. They were engaged to be married. He was obviously an older guy, but that didn't matter. It didn't matter in that culture, certainly. And so they had a plan. I can tell you, I bet Mary just saw her life all in front of her. Oh, I'm going to marry Joseph. He's well-respected. He's straight up. He doesn't even own a pair of jeans. He's so good-looking. And he's a carpenter. And one day we're going to open up our own furniture store, and we're going to be successful, and we're going to be well-loved in the community, and we're going to make a difference in this community. We're going to have our kids, and life's going to be wonderful. And then all of a sudden, God changed their plans. And he messed them up big time. I'm not talking about a little inconvenience here. God messed up their plans in a massive way. So Matthew chapter 1. This is how Jesus the Messiah was born. His mother, Mary, was engaged to be married to Joseph. But before the marriage took place, and see, when you were engaged, I mean, when you're engaged even today, you know, all other people are off limits. You know, you're not still dating around. You're committed to this person. And so when you're engaged, it's just like you're married, but you're just not living together or shouldn't be. But you're engaged and you're committed to one another for this thing called marriage. And said, but before the marriage took place, while she was still a virgin, she became pregnant through the power of the Holy Spirit. Joseph, to whom she was engaged, was a righteous man and did not want to disgrace her publicly. So he decided to break the engagement quietly. Now, how did he find out that she was even pregnant? Well, I'm guessing she told him. I mean, she had this angel Gabriel come and visit her. We learned that in Luke chapter 1. And Gabriel said, surprise, you are going to be the mother of the king of the universe, the savior of the world. And she's like, how is that possible? And then she ultimately said, I belong to you, Lord. I'm committed to you. So she goes to Joseph. I can only imagine this conversation. Joseph, I got some news. I'm pregnant. Now, Joseph knows he's not the dad. And so she tells him the Holy Spirit is the father. He did it. Now, Joseph, as you can imagine, is devastated. Not only is my future wife pregnant by someone else, she's lost her mind. She's trying to blame it on God. I mean, just imagine the emotions that are running through this guy's brain. He had nothing to reference this to. There was nothing in history that he could go back to try to figure this out. So his life was, I mean, it was messed up big time. He had that non-refundable deposit on the Sea of Galilee destination wedding chapel. I mean, he had everything. I mean, you know how much parchment paper cost back then? All the wedding invitations were already sent out. He was going to have to return all those gifts. I mean, this was worse than public humiliation. That your engaged future wife is pregnant and you're not the dad. So she's obviously a very loose one. Mary is not the person I thought I was marrying. In fact, she has lost her mind. I can only imagine all these thoughts going through his brain. But because he was the kind of guy he was, he said, you know, Mary's going to go through so much humiliation, I'm not going to add to it. This is going to be so embarrassing for her and her family, I'm not going to add to the pain. So I'm going to quietly and discreetly end the engagement, which is a divorce, even though they weren't legally married yet, it's still considered a divorce, and then just let her family handle the situation, whatever it is they have to do. And imagine Mary sitting there going, wait a minute, I didn't do anything wrong. I didn't ask for this. This happened to me. It's not my fault. I did not betray my commitment to you. So here she is pregnant, and she's all alone. I mean, I don't know if she's told her parents yet. I don't know. Maybe it's just her and Joseph, the only two that knew about this. And so she's sitting there looking at God maybe and thinking, God, I said yes to you, and now Joseph hates me. In fact, he thinks I'm crazy. Everybody's going to think I'm a horrible person. The rumors are going to fly. I'm not going to be able to show my face anywhere. I'm going to have to move away, leave all my family. I'm just a young teenager. This is not what I had planned. Have you ever said that? Amen. This is not what I had planned. Amen. And that's exactly where some of you are right now. My life, I didn't plan this to happen. You know, I'm trying to provide a great Christmas for my family, and the car breaks down. It's going to cost me $1,000 to fix it. I'm trying to do something nice for my family, and I got to replace the refrigerator. I wasn't planning on that. I was not planning on that financial setback. I thought we were going to have a great Christmas together, but now I've got to deal with this medical issue. Maybe you're even in a place where you said, you know, my spouse and I, we made vows to each other. We promised to love each other forever. We promised to be faithful as long as we lived. And I found out that they didn't take that promise very seriously. I didn't plan on that. When they made that vow before God and my family and my friends, they were lying. Or maybe you're like, I have raised my kids the best I can. I have done everything I know to do. I have sought the best advice. I have had them in church, and I've made sure that they know who Jesus is and they know the Bible. But yet, God, they're rebelling. They are rebelling in such a massive way. I don't know what to do. This is not what I planned. God, I didn't ask for these migraines. And yet I've done everything the doctors have done everything they know to do, and I still have them. And it just shuts me down. God, I don't understand where this depression's coming from and why I have to deal with this every single day. I've asked you over and over again to take it away, but it's still here. God, I worked hard in school. I just didn't cut it with some of those grades, and now I'm losing my scholarship. I wasn't planning on that. I may have to drop out of school. God, I didn't plan on getting hurt, getting injured. I didn't plan on being in that wreck. I didn't plan on tripping and breaking a leg. I didn't plan on that. Maybe you're saying, like Mary and Joseph, this isn't what I wanted. This wasn't the plan. I don't understand. God absolutely wrecked Mary and Joseph's plans. So now what? Well, this is the one key statement I want you to lock in on. You don't have to understand God's plan in order to trust God's purpose. You don't have to understand God's plan in order to trust God's purpose. Proverbs 19:21 says, you can make many plans, but the Lord's purpose will prevail.
Amen.
I'm glad of that verse.
Amen.
Now, let's continue the story in Matthew 1, the very next verse in 20. As he considers this, Joseph, as he's considering divorcing Mary and just quietly trying to minimize what's already going to be a devastating, embarrassing situation, he's trying to minimize it as much as he can. And, you know, I got to respect this guy. I've got a lot of respect for this guy. Nobody would have fault him if he ran around and told everybody how crazy his fiance is and that she obviously messed around with some guy and now she's pregnant and she's trying to blame it on God. I'm glad I found out now. He didn't do that. But as he was considering trying to do the most honorable thing that he could, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream. Now, with Mary, the angel, it was physical. She was wide awake, and the angel was right there in front of her, physically there. And Gabriel, they had a conversation. They talked back to each other. But Joseph's is different. It's a dream. And he's not having a conversation, but he's being talked to by an angel in a dream. This makes me even respect Joseph even more. So in the dream, the angel says, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid. Isn't that what happened when our plans get all messed up? Fear overcomes. How am I going to pay for that? How am I going to survive this? How am I going to get through this? I mean, fear just overcomes us. When our plans get messed up and we cannot see the end of the road, we're overcome with fear. And so the angel says, do not be afraid. Do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife. For the child within her was conceived by the Holy Spirit. Just like she told you, that really did happen. And she will have a son, and you are to name him Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. That was the dream. And Joseph acted upon it and responded accordingly. Now, I want you to get this. Joseph had no reference point for what the angel said. Nothing like this has ever happened in history, and nothing ever in the future was going to happen like this. This was a standalone, one-time event. So Joseph could not use his human thinking to find a reference point somewhere. There was nothing he could attach to. He had zero experience with this, and he and any of the wise people that he knew would have had zero experience with this. They could not make a reference to this. They couldn't understand this. I mean, this is just him and a dream. And that's all he had. He had the words of a crazy wife to be who had cheated on him. But now the dream verifies she's telling the truth. He didn't get to have a rebuttal session with the angel like Mary did, but he took it and accepted it. So wait, what's happening? God was doing something in the middle of this mess. And I've got a purpose for you, Joseph, in all of your pain. Because Joseph was in some serious pain. He had waited diligently for who God had for him. Mary comes along, that's God's purpose for him. And now Joseph is in incredible pain because his plans have been shattered. And in that pain, God says, wait, I've got a plan for you in this mess, in this pain. I've got a plan. Guess what, Joseph? You get to be the earthly dad of the Savior of the world. That job has been given to no one else, and no one else will ever have that job. You have that job. You're going to be like no other person. Nobody else can put that on their resume. That's your job. I have chosen you to be the earthly dad of my son. That's how much I'm trusting you. Whoa. So yeah, I messed up your life right now. But I've got a purpose. And my purpose is far greater than your pain. Amen. Because it involves saving the world from their sins. Wow. And we don't hear much more about Joseph. I can only assume he faithfully did his job. So God, maybe God is saying this to you right now. I know it doesn't feel very good, but my ways are higher, my thoughts are higher than yours. My purposes are different than your plans. I know you're fearful right now. I know you're afraid. I know you feel overwhelmed. I know you cannot, it doesn't make sense, but you need to trust me. My purposes, my ways are way beyond this. And I love you enough that I'm willing to mess up your plans in order to accomplish my purpose for your life. That's how much I love you. Sometimes God's greatest invitations feel like our worst interruptions. That's the way it was for Joseph and Mary. That was the greatest invitation God could ever give to two human beings, to be the parents of the Savior of the world. Amen. And it was their worst interruption. God often interrupts our plans with his purpose. And he loves us enough that he gets us through the pain of that interruption. You see, not only did Mary have to deal with the humiliation of being pregnant before she was married, Joseph had to deal with the humiliation of taking her on as a wife, knowing that he wasn't the father of the child, or the rumors of Joseph, you couldn't wait, bud. You're not this holy guy like everybody thinks you are. I mean, imagine the rumors that Joseph had to deal with. And they were going to be okay with that because they saw the bigger picture. So I know some of you are thinking, okay, so if I'm going to be right with God, I need to be good. No, you don't. Only Jesus is good. Amen. He was good. Amen. Well, if I'm going to be used by God, I need to make some sort of sacrifice. No, you don't. Jesus was the sacrifice. Well, if I'm going to be used by God, I need to do everything I can to be righteous. No, Jesus made you righteous. You didn't. You can't do that. Jesus did that. So yes, sometimes God's greatest interruptions feel like our worst nightmares. Maybe you had your whole life planned out. Your whole life planned out. And then God interrupted your plans with something far different. I know that's what happened to me. And maybe you can sit there and say, but this isn't what I planned. I took that job in good faith, and I get there and find out now they're downsizing. Well, that happened to a friend of mine that was here at Gateway. He took a great job, moved to another state. It was an amazing job. And within a couple of months, they went through a reorganization and he wasn't a part of it. Again, the key point. You don't have to understand God's plan in order to trust God's purpose. The Liggetts, they've just had a major, major interruption in their plans for the next 12 months. But they're willing to trust that God has a purpose in it. And they don't have to understand the ins and outs. They don't have to understand the plan in order to trust God. So I wonder for you, what is it that you need to trust God about? What is it you need to quit trying to figure out and quit trying to understand everything and just trust that God's got this? Maybe for some of you, it's even your salvation. You're still trying to figure out this whole Jesus thing and the cross and the resurrection, and you want to understand all the apologetics behind it, and you want to understand all the ins and outs about it, but at the end of the day, it's just a matter of you saying, no, I'm not going to understand it all. I just need to trust that through Jesus, I can be forgiven. Amen. I can be saved. Maybe it's time for you to quit trying to figure it all out and just trust. And maybe those of you who've already done that, you're still battling the lordship part of it. Yeah, I'm a saved. I know I'm going to heaven. I know my sins are forgiven, but I sure like being in charge here and now while I'm still here on earth. I've got my plans. I've got my agenda. And you're struggling in that area, and God just keeps messing up your plans to get you to a place where you say, you're Lord, I'm not. Jesus, be Lord of my life. You call the shots. I'm going to trust you, especially when it makes no sense. And so maybe the next time that there's a major interruption, instead of running down that road of fear, you stop and you say, okay, God must be up to something. Amen. I wasn't planning on this. I'm going to trust that God's up to something because this did not catch him off guard. I'm going to choose to trust him even though I don't understand. And even though I cannot see it, I choose to trust him. Maybe that's where you are. And if your plans right now have not been messed up, just give it some time. Let's pray.